Thank you, Father. You are Lord. Always God. You are never more God than you are today. You don't increase. You don't rise. You don't appreciate or depreciate. What a God. Who is like unto thee and who can be compared to you? All other gods submit to you. All other gods, like David said, are but idols. But you alone are God. The eternal one who has no beginning, who has no end, yet is the beginning and the end. What a God you are. We exalt your majesty. You are self-existing. You are because you are. We bless and praise thee for your unsearchable riches. Who is like unto you among the gods? You are fearful in holiness. You are full of praise. What a valuable bestowment that we have in you. Praise be to our King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your omnipotence. All power belongs to you. Thank you, Lord, for your omnipresence. David said, whither shall I go from your spirit? When I ascend to the heavens, you are there. When I make my bed in hell, you are there. When I take up the wings of the morning to dwell in the uttermost part of the seas, even there, your hand holds me and your right hand upholds me. Search me, O God. Search me, says David. Unto you is all knowledge and all wisdom. You are merciful, full of grace and truth. You are the forgiver of sins, the gracious God, the loving King and Father. Root of David, reign today like you do always. Root of David, you are Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain to receive power, glory, riches, strength, blessing, and wisdom. It all belongs to you. Yes. All forces, all demons, all principalities, they are aware that you are creator, the maker of the heavens and the earth. David said, blessed be God, all honor and praise belongs to you. Majesty, reign. Majesty, reign. Majesty, reign. Thank you. We bless you. That this morning your word is coming with full power. Nothing will hinder the word. It will come full of life and fire. Many lives, destinies will be changed. Many directions will be shifted and brought into alignment with your will and purposes. Many decisions shall be changed today. They shall fall in place in your name. All forces of darkness that will hinder the flow of this service are bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Healings will take place in the preaching of the word of God. And Jesus will be exalted this morning. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Can you scream and shout and give Jesus all the praise? Come on. Praise the Lord. I'm excited you're here this morning. Shake about five people and tell them it was good you came to church. Look for them. Look for them. Five people. If you don't get them, move from your seat. Look for five people. Tell them it was good you came to church. It was good. It was good. It was good you came to church. It was good you came to church. Hallelujah. Please be seated. It's good you came to church. I just want to emphasize once again the benefits of coming to church. Before I go into my message, Psalm 84, the verse 7. And please note that it's very important to be in church consistently as a child of God. Because there is an aspect of God's agenda for your life that will never come into fulfillment without you belonging to a local church. I repeat again. There is an aspect of God's will and purpose for your life that will never come into fruition if you don't belong to a local church. No matter how God wants to use you, He uses you in your submission to a local authority. You will realize that when you read the book of Acts, Apostle Peter was a very powerful apostle, yet he was submitted in a local church in Jerusalem. Apostle Paul was a very powerful apostle, but Apostle Paul was also submitted to a local church in Jerusalem before he was released and commissioned to expand the interface of God's kingdom. So there is a very great aspect of God's agenda for your life that will never come to pass if you are not connected to a local church. And we also need to understand that there are benefits of coming to church. And when we read the book of Psalm 84 from the verse 7, the Bible says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. So the Bible emphasizes that one of the benefits you gain when you are in church is strength. You move from strength to strength. A lot of people are going through all kinds of depression because of their disconnection from a local church. If you are not connected to a local church, you will easily be depressed, especially when you are a Christian. Because the world out there is not funny. Now, let me just share with you the benefits of coming to church. So we said number one is what? You're not here with me. This class is weak. Number one, strength. They go from strength to strength. They that appear in Zion. So one benefit of coming to church is strength. And when I'm speaking of strength, I'm not just speaking of physical strength. I'm speaking of strength from within. You increase in capacity. Number two, from the verse 9, the Bible says, behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of the anointed. Now look at the verse 10. For a day. Now, this is interesting. A day. A day in thy courts is better than what? 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, so what the Bible is telling us is that one day in church cannot be compared to a day, a week, a month, a year elsewhere. Are we following this? One day in church, the experience of one day in church cannot be compared to any other day spent elsewhere. Now, the next verse gives us the next point. He says, after he mentioned being a day being God's court, in the verse 11, he says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Now, I was going to make a point before the sound started messing up. Now, God knows that he can't take you to heaven now because you have an assignment, right? But at a point, he needs to bring you into an experience of heaven on earth, and which is called church. So, church is like an annex of heaven on earth. Please, are you following what I'm saying? That's how come we have worship meetings. Because in heaven, worship is 24/7. Are you following that? We have praise meetings. So that presence, the aura, the glory of God that surrounds the atmosphere in church meetings is actually what happens in heaven. So God loves us to be around so we can breathe the atmosphere of heaven here on earth to go and live life. So he says, our God is a sun. So the next benefit of coming to church is radiation. The heat, the waves, the energy of God is experienced. So there is a radiation of the energy of God in your life. There are things that you contacted which is not of God. You know, we all know that one of the ways of curing cancer is through radiation therapy. There is a light ray, it's an energy that is placed upon the cancer. And when it is placed upon it for a time, it kills the cells.
There are some spiritual cancers that Christians come with, that when we meet in the presence of God like this, the radiation of God's heat burns it. It consumes it. It kills it. But sometimes you may not be able to see it. So radiation. Number three, the Bible says, and a shield. The next benefit of coming to church is protection. Protection. There is a shield that you strengthen. There is a shield that comes upon you based on the prophetic assignment done in every meeting. So there is a divine protection that comes upon you when you come to church. Number four, the Lord will give grace. That word grace there is favor. The fourth benefit of coming to church is favor. And number five, he says, and glory. The word glory there is weight. So the fifth benefit of coming to church is spiritual weight. You gain more weight in the spirit, which means church service is like coming to a gym, a spiritual training. You become heavier than you came. Don't forget these five benefits. Now, so we were looking at the three pursuits for the manifestation of glory. And we said number one was what? What? Even ministers are even quiet. How much more the congregation? Number one is wisdom. If you want to experience glory, the first pursuit is wisdom. I'm speaking of divine wisdom. We have explained that a lot. Number two, we said is what? You pursue for power. Now, we are not saying that you are going to find a way to bring the glory of God down. No. The glory of God, by virtue of Calvary, tabernacles in every believer in the person of the Spirit. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of glory. So, Spirit of glory is already in you. But you see, it has to be enabled. So the Christian can be able to enjoy the benefits of that glory. And these are the three pursuits that activates that glory in your life. Are you following this? So we said number one is wisdom. Number two is power. You will need to pursue power. We have explained that also. Today, finally, the third pursuit is the pursuit of wealth and riches. I'm trusting God this morning to be in the balance and don't go into the extreme. I'm trusting God to help me to bring you into balance. Because on this issue of prosperity, of this issue of wealth and riches, some have gone on two extremes. Now, the first extreme is that when we speak of prosperity, riches, and wealth, some think of plenty money. More money. So when we say riches, the person is thinking of money. So now many churches also have overemphasized every message must end with money. Your business, anybody fighting your business, every single time it has to do with money. So there is a certain extreme, as if we serve God because of money. As if Christianity is all about money. As if you don't have money, that means that you are a failure or a shame. So that's the first extreme, where riches or fiscal money is overemphasized at the expense of the preaching of the true riches of Christ. The other extreme is on the fact that too many Christians are so spiritually minded or so spiritual that they don't want to have anything to do with money. So there are those who say that we have to go to heaven. It's not about money. It's about Christ. It's not about money. It's about living a good behavior. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. Take the whole world. Mimpeshi.
Remove your dress now.
Umpeshi. Just remove your dress and go naked. And give me Jesus. But I'm telling you, this air condition did not come with tongues. The dress you are wearing did not come with fasting. And by that, I'm not downplaying it. All I'm saying is that some have also gone to the extreme to make it look like having so much wealth is demonic. Which is why many Christians are now allowing themselves to become outlets of blessings. Now, do you know what it means? Eh? When this morning, they called me in the morning and they told me that the lights were off. You know, I was going to pray, which is not supposed to be a prayer topic, because if we have a plant, I won't pray. Please, are you following what I'm saying? If we had a plant, I won't pray. So at dawn, I was just going around. I said, it's just agitating my spirit that we have to pray for light to come. So now we have to pray for Ezekiel to have mercy upon us. That's the best way I can explain it. So that anger didn't make me pray that the light should come. I said, Lord, this church is so rich. We are so blessed and we cannot be poor. This church owns its own plant. Not only so, we will shame the devil with so much wealth that people will be confused. I'm prophesying to you now. So I went for a walk today. Now I started doing some exercises. If you're here, you don't exercise, please add it to your life, okay? So I went for jogging. I was coming. I was prophesying. We will never be poor. Christ Life Avenue. There is so much wealth upon us. We will never be poor. We are rising. We are increasing on any side. We own estates. We own lands. We own buildings. We own cars. In the name of Jesus. I was prophesying. When I was done, I didn't pray also about the light. I said, if it comes, so it doesn't come, I don't care. Because the next time, we are seeing a plant in this house. So you see, these things comes by money. So, if we over-spiritualize the concept of wealth, and we say, we don't need money, we all need Jesus, I'm telling you, there'll be problem. Because the reason why some girls are in prostitution today is because of money. And there are some who are doing it, if you find out from them, they will tell you that it is not their will to go into this business. They have to take care of their parents. They have to take care of their children. They have to take care of their families. That's why they are in it. I remember on campus, there was one lady who was sleeping with men for money. And she told me that when a man is on top of her, she doesn't like it. But for the fact that she has to take care of her family, she has to do it. And all that was in my spirit is that, God, if you have blessed me like this, I take care of all the children's school fees from JSS to university. That is your story. Yes. Today, before a man pays or helps someone's school fees, he has to sleep with a girl. Before someone gives you a job, he has to sleep with you before he gives you a job. Imagine you are a CEO of a fashion company. Imagine you are a business owner. You have started some businesses that is running. Can any man tell you, I have to sleep with you before I give you a job? Listen to me. You have to pursue what I'm about to teach you. It's a serious matter we are dealing with here. So here, if you think that money is not important for your life, today's service is not for you. Next week, we'll do more worship. Because I've spoken about wisdom, I've spoken about power, now we are dealing with wealth and riches. Now, before we deal with this subject, I want to explain something to you. There is a difference between money, wealth, and riches. I have to explain for you to understand. So that you know how to put your life in order. There is a difference between what? Money, wealth, and riches. Are you ready? Now, money is a legal tender for payment and exchange. So, money is a legal tender for payment and exchange of goods and services. Money is any item or medium of exchange that symbolizes perceived value. Please pay attention. Don't say, man of God, you are going too fast, so I won't listen again. Hey, follow. Money is any item or medium of exchange that symbolizes perceived value. So it's a legal tender. It's a physical tender. Physical. Which is used for exchange and for the payment of goods and services. So you have a bottle of water. I have money. I want the water. But it's no gift. You can't have it as a gift because God has not spoken to the person. So if you want to have that bottle of water, you give money, the person gives you the water. So he sells. And the medium of that exchange is money. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I need to let you understand so that lifestyle where you pursue money more than God, you change. That is money. Now, number two, we come to wealth. Is someone following something from here? Wealth is an acquisition of multiple assets. Wealth is an acquisition of multiple assets and an empowerment or ability. Wealth is an acquisition of multiple assets. So, what we are trying to say is that you can have money and not have wealth. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can have money. Your salary, the salary is money, but it can be only 1,000 Ghana cedis. You can have the money, but it is not assured that you will be wealthy. So there are many people who have money, only few are wealthy. Wealth is an acquisition of assets, multiple assets, which means you have cars, you have houses, you have things to meet your needs. So we also said it's an ability or an empowerment to meet your needs, the needs of your family and others. Please write that down. It's an empowerment to meet your needs, the needs of your family and others. If you listen to this teaching, it will help your life. It is an empowerment or an ability to meet your needs, the needs of your family and others. Wealth is also maintaining a system that multiplies money. Wealth is maintaining a system that multiplies money. Because you can have money and money will keep leaving you. The money comes, it goes. It comes, it goes. It comes, it goes. But when you have a system where the money goes and it multiplies and comes back to you in abundance, we call it wealth. You don't just receive money. Now you are the one who has created a system through which money passes through. A channel, a system through which money is consistently coming through. Please, are you following what I'm teaching you? So that is wealth. Now, the third is riches. Riches is a valuable bestowment. Number two, riches is fullness. Riches is the fullness of God in manifestation in a man's life. Please, are we following this thing? So, you can have money and not be wealthy. And you can have wealth and not be rich. I'm teaching good here. In the Bible, Jesus teaches true riches. That means there is fake riches and true riches. But until we have understood these three, we will not be able to do business the way God expects us to. Am I helping someone? Now, for the sake of my teaching, we are going to use wealth and riches interchangeably as if they are the same. And there's a reason why I'm doing that. You understand very soon. We want to look at what wealth and riches is not before we look at what it is. How many know that God is rich? How many know God is rich? Oh, how many know God is rich? But he doesn't have money. God is rich, but God does not have money. You see, this is very interesting. It will let you understand that you can be rich and not still have money yet. Because once you are rich, you will have money. Jacob left the house of his father Isaac with a blessing, yet there was no car. But there was something upon his head. That thing upon his head is blessing, which is a kind of riches. I'm teaching well here. So you see, there are people who work for money, but because they don't understand spiritual principles, demons take it from them. There are people who don't understand the spirit behind money. Listen, wealth is spiritual. Wealth and riches is highly spiritual. I'm telling you something very serious here. So we understand that before money remains in your hand and does something good and multiplies, a spirit must be involved. See, before I want to go ahead of myself. If you detach God from your finances, you are in trouble. A lot of financial problems going on is that people have given their hearts to Jesus and have given their hearts to their money to Mammon. They've given their life to Christ and they've separated their money from it. Listen, if God's hand is not on your money, Satan will touch it. I'm teaching good here. So, what wealth and riches is not? Number one, wealth and riches is not physical money. Wealth and riches is not physical money because God is rich but does not have money. You see, there is no money in heaven. That's what I want you to understand. There's no money in heaven. So, if there's no money in heaven, how does God make things happen? Because today, if you want to build a real estate, you need money. If God wants to build a real estate, he has to speak. God said, let there be light. He didn't buy bulb. No, I'm making you understand there are things that brings money which is more spiritual than you think. If a witch wants to make you poor, he uses the mouth. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? He say, "Whoa, ube brevo." That word becomes a spirit. No matter the work you are doing, you end up poor. Which means that if you also understand the language of words, you are close to wealth. I'm teaching good here. Don't know how to even continue this thing. Number two, wealth and riches is not having a house or a car. Luke chapter 12, the verse 15 to 21. Now, this verse is really going to demystify this whole issue about money. Luke chapter 12, the verse 15. Are you ready? Please pay attention. Don't be distracted. Now I read, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life, please pay attention, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. This is a serious matter. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So what the Bible is telling us, that true riches is not possession. Because every house you have, every phone you have, every car you have, you don't die with it. I'm teaching good here. So your life does not consist of the abundance of things you possess. So God does not place value on you by the physical things that you possess. Let's keep reading the next verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Now look at that. And he thought within himself, saying, now look at the number of times the Bible used I. He says, what shall I do? How many I's? Because I have no room to bestow my fruit. Another speech of selfishness. Next one. Another speech of one who thinks he does not need God. And he said, this word, I. How many? Four. Actually, four. Because you use mine again. Next one. I. How many? Will pull down my barns and will build greater. There will I bestow my fruit and my goods. Look at the next one. And I will say to my soul. Are you counting it? So, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this is the definition of foolishness, which in the world today is beauty and beautiful. When we see a man counting money on someone in the world, he will say, Charlie, the guy, cash day, cash day. Look at what the Bible said. And God said unto him, thou fool, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Next verse. So is, we're going to read it together. One, two, go loudly. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. NLT. Woo. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have rich relationship with God. This is a serious matter. The Bible is explaining what true riches and wealth is. So according to scripture, riches and wealth is revealed in a man's relationship with God. So if you are here, you don't have a prayer life, you are poor. I'm teaching good. Today I came to offend you. If you are here, you don't read your Bible, you are poor. I'm teaching you well, though. Revelation chapter 3, the verse 14 to 18. The Bible says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now look at the next verse. The Bible says, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will that thou wert cold or hot. Now look. The verse 16, he says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, the verse 17, now watch this. He says, but thou said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, these are rich people physically that Jesus is talking about. But in their spiritual state, he says, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So there are people who are wearing Gucci physically, but spiritually, they don't have clothes. There are people who are wearing expensive perfumes, expensive shoes, expensive items, yet in the spirit, they are out of coverage area. They have nothing. Nothing. And listen to me, if you are here and you envy worldly rich people, you are weak. You are spiritually immature. You see a worldly rich person owning fleets of cars, displaying them, and you see it and you are envious. You are not spiritual. If you read your Bible well, you will not envy any single worldly rich person who has anything. None of these things move me. It has never moved me because I know their end. If their wealth does not worship God, if their wealth does not glorify God, I know their end. Just 3 weeks ago, we all saw on the news that the CEO of Access Bank, he recently finished building his mansion. That mansion is like a city. He even has a hospital inside, but the hospital inside could not take care of him. He has a private jet. The same private jet was what killed him. They had a plane crash. His wife, himself, and his son, to inherit his wealth, they all died in plane crash. Every wealth this man has built for 60 years, 50 years, 55 years, 40 years is gone down the drain because he's gone to the grave. You need to hear this wisdom. Any amount of money or wealth you are trying to build outside building a relationship with God is a waste of time. It's a waste of what? Time. Because someone will live in that house. Someone will wear your shoe. As you are there, someone is waiting for you to die. That handbag, someone wants it. That shoe, someone wants it. So listen, tell someone, build true riches. Oh, I can't hear you. Build true riches. Tell three people. Build true riches. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell three people. First Peter chapter 3, the verse 4. Now come to the verse 3. So you see something. He says, oh, come to the verse 2. The verse 2. The verse 1. He says, look. So this actually speaking to wives in marriage, okay? But it's actually speaking to all of us because of the weight of the words in it. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not in word, they may also obey without the word, be warned by the conversation of your wives. What he's saying is that if, example, you are married to a man who doesn't love Jesus, you are married to a man who doesn't believe in Jesus, you are married to a husband who does not go to church. He says that your evangelism is not just telling him come to church. Your evangelism is your character. He says, let your character win the man to Christ. Which means, let the man see so much of Christ in your lifestyle that he wants to follow your Jesus. Are you following what I'm teaching you? Now look at the next verse. He says, while they behold your... Give it to me in NLT. While your husband, he looks at your character, your lifestyle. He says, observing your pure and reverent lives. Look at the next verse. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. The Bible is not saying she didn't wear them. He says, let that one not be your primary concern. Look, he says, next verse. You should clothe yourselves instead with what? The beauty that comes from where? That comes from where? Listen to me. Listen to me. There is outward and inward beauty. Which one do you prefer? You know, you need to understand that your physical beauty has a time on it. You will not be beautiful forever. Go and look for Miss Ghana, 1994. Go and look for Miss World, 1989. If you like, go and look for Miss Ghana 2008. If they tell you this one was Miss Ghana, you vomit. But she was Miss Ghana. The beauty has faded and is gone completely. I'm teaching with you. But you know something? Inner beauty does not die. All those clapping have inner beauty. It does not die. Come back to the verse again. He says, clothe yourself with the beauty that comes from within and the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so what? Precious to God. So the Bible is telling us the kind of beauty that is precious to God. Wives who insult their husbands. You are a foolish man. They are not here. They are not here. Those people are not here. You are a stupid fool. Nyansa, your friend Nyansa. Mikno unibi, unibakon. Hey! The Bible says it's of a great price. Stupid man. Look at your head, look at your toe. You call yourself a man. You, when we say manhood, you don't have some. There is no dignity of a man around you. Hey! Do you know something? Disrespect corrupts beauty. Dishonor corrupts beauty. This is not just to women. No. I'm talking about everybody seated here. Dishonor corrupts beauty. There was one time, there was a man that came, okay? That he saw this auditorium and he was looking at the person who is leading this church. And he was looking at the auditorium and he was like, I saw him looking at me and he was expecting to see me walking like this. How are you all, my children and my sons and my daughters? How thou art? But he realized that I'm free with everybody, talking to cracking jokes here. So he was watching me. And he told someone told me. He was expected to see someone who is pocketed, someone who is coming with. And he saw the simplicity. Honestly, it has never dawned on me that because of this one, I should look like this. Hey, yeah. It has never dawned on me. It is not my training. It's not my training. You know, there are some of you, your 2,000 Ghana salary, what it has done to you. The way you speak to your landlord, the way you address people, you don't even greet the security man. That old man, the 60-year-old man, you don't greet him. You see, a lot of ladies are so rude in their gestures, especially young ones. The young ones are so disrespectful and dishonorable. And you see, wait until you're in trouble. There was a young girl that was about to be used for sacrifice. The girl was brought by that rich man from Kumasi. I was listening to a story. And the house they were going to do the sacrifice in, there was an old security man there who is sitting down quiet. So the girl said when she was passing, she just said, okay, let me. The man told him, when you come, don't talk to anybody. But because of the respect in her, you see, when you have good character, it will save you one day. The respect in her, she said she can't go without saying good evening. She said, da, but your good evening. And the man looked at her like this. Then she went inside. When she was going upstairs, the rich man, he paid for the girl's transportation to come to Accra, so he was not there. He said the girl should enter there. He'll come there at midnight. So when he greeted him, and then the old man said, Abba, brah, he came. He said, Imba, abrantene kun wofi hano, omungi namo ba, obi an chiameda. Wopene we chiame, unibibi, abrantene, or your occult, anajiri, unkwa enyaudia, obekun, unim bibia, faunyamana kosisiya. That's how the girl was saved. Greeting. Greeting. Wa unishi, once on bobia. You don't have anything, no. You don't have anything. But when you see people, you don't greet them. You don't respect people. You don't honor people. Someone falls down. Instead of saying sorry, you're looking at him. Oh, now also show him. Hey! Ah! Character! It's true riches. I'm telling you something serious. There are so-called rich men who are poor men by the teaching of these scriptures. Look at. Now, I want to explain something serious to you so you understand that some of you may be on the right track. Wealth and riches is in three dimensions. Wealth and riches, I have 10 minutes. Wealth and riches is in how many dimensions? Three dimensions. Please pay attention. Number one is salvation. The first dimension of wealth and riches is salvation. Ephesians chapter 3, the verse 8. True riches are in Christ. And you can only find true riches when Christ lives in you. If Christ is in you, you are rich. If Christ is in you, you are rich. If the Holy Ghost lives in you, you are rich. If you speak in tongues, you are rich. If you have gifts of the Spirit, you are rich. The experiences that come through salvation, and salvation itself is the first dimension of wealth. So without Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you are still poor. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Number two, the second dimension of wealth and riches is transformation. It's transformation. Are you following what I'm teaching? 3 John 2. The second dimension of wealth and riches is transformation. You change. You change your character. You change in the way you behave as a Christian. It is the second level of wealth and riches. Look, he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Which means there is prosperity that is from within. Even as your soul prospers. So your physical prosperity must be in proportion to your soulish or your spiritual prosperity. I'm teaching God. And the third dimension of wealth and riches is good health and financial wealth. The third dimension is good health and financial wealth. Now someone says, man of God, is health wealth? Yes. Your health is your wealth. Because no matter how, let me put it this way. If you are not healthy, no matter the ideas you have to do in business, you can't do it. Imagine you have a sickness and they have to cut your hand. You are sick and you can't walk well. You are so weak, you can't move. Listen, you see, it was when I got sick last year, July, that I valued the power of health. I valued the power of health. Listen, if you are healthy, it's a gift. If you are healthy, you wake up in the morning, you can jog, you can stand, you can jump, you can move, you can even eat, you can fart and poo-poo. It's a gift. You may be laughing, but it's a serious matter. If you can poo-poo, it's a gift, though. You don't know. If your kidneys are functioning, huh? You should kneel down every morning you wake up and say, Father, thank you for another day. Thank you. Now, do you see what happens when you even have simple malaria? Simple malaria that you can treat in 3 days. Do you see how it destabilizes you? You can't go to work. You can't move. You feel feverish. The same person who is 4 balls of kenke, they brought it to you and it's smelling. Fried rice, you don't like it. Why? Malaria. So what if it's another disease? Lift your hands. Say, Father, thank you for my health. Thank you that I'm healthy and strong. May no sickness destroy my life in this year. In the name of Jesus, I speak forth divine health over my life in Jesus' name. Hear me carefully. If you are healthy, you are wealthy. There is nothing more painful than you having money and all your money is used to take care of hospital bills. I want to change your perspective about this thing called wealth. Am I helping someone at all? Thank you, Father. All right, so quickly, we want to look at subsidiaries of wealth and riches. I have 7 minutes. Subsidiaries of wealth and riches. Are you ready? So, wealth and riches, like we said, is in 3 dimensions. So, we are looking at the subsidiaries of wealth and riches. Number one is the wealth and riches of your spirit. The wealth and riches of your spirit. That's the first subsidiary of wealth. So if there's any wealth you want to develop and pursue, the first one is the spiritual wealth. Now, what are the tributaries of spiritual wealth? Now, I want to give you an example. So when these experiences are in your spiritual life, they are in you. That means you have spiritual wealth. Am I helping you? Number one is speaking in tongues. Number two, your ability to worship God. Number three, please, if you, this is a university, this church, we love teaching the word of God. So please, when you're coming next time, come with a notebook and diary. Make some notes down because you can't remember everything. So I want to plead with everybody. Come with some notes and make some notes, okay? Number three, manifesting spiritual gifts is wealth. Prophesying, you understand? Someone comes to you and prophesies to you and tells you, I see this happening to your life in the next 2 years. It's a certain kind of wealth. Healing, the gift of healing. Someone is having a pain in his body. And you pray for the person gets healed. It's wealth. There's something you carry to meet certain needs in the lives of people. It's spiritual wealth. Are you following this? So you are able to discern. You're able to know the right spirit from the wrong spirit. You come to a church that is an occult church. When you are there, your spirit man loses joy. You lose your fruit. It's like there is something about the church. There's something about the church. I don't know. The pastor is looking good, but there's something about the environment, the atmosphere. It's the spirit of discernment. Because as a Christian, it's not everyone that should lay hands on you. I remember there was one person who went to a church, and he realized that the way the pastor was behaving, he looked like an occult pastor. And the pastor called him. He was about to lay hands on him for him to escape. He fell under the power before the hands came. You don't understand what I'm saying? Before the pastor lay hands, what the pastor? He lifted his hand, he now fell down. When the pastor turned on, he's gone. If that pastor, see, it is not everybody that should lay hands on you. I'm teaching something serious. You must have a conviction within your spirit. That's why if you're the type of believer, you are in this church today, you are in this church tomorrow, you are here for spiritual water, you are here for spiritual bath, you are here for spiritual baptism, you are here for this, you'll be contaminated. Your forehead. Listen, if God opens your eyes, there is something on everybody's forehead. It's either a star or it's a glory or something. Someone can lay hands on your forehead and take it away. I'm serious about what I'm teaching you. Every spiritual person can see something on the forehead of every person. So even Apostle Paul says, suddenly lay hands on no man. I know of a man of God who put his hands on someone, and by the time he removed his hands, a snake bit him spiritually and his hand became big. So your ability to discern is a gift. It's a spiritual wealth. Are you following this thing? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Now, next point, giving is a spiritual wealth. If you're a Christian who knows how to give, you know, those of you who are waiting to have before you give, you don't understand spiritual wealth. You are just Libra. This morning when I woke up, you know, because the program we are doing, I have not done a general fundraising in the church that raised this money so we can be able to beautify this place. But we are still doing the work. Workers have sacrificed their money. There was one member who called me and told me that, you know something? Man of God, this morning you send me a message. I want to support the program. There are some people I called and told them that we are doing a program. They have other things they are doing, but they gave. It's a gift. It's a spiritual wealth. I'm teaching good here. Next one is a godly home. A godly home. You may not have much, but when the assumption of fear is riches, it's a spiritual world. Your home, the children are growing well. Your children know how to say John 3:16. They know how to pray. Your children know God. Your children know God. It's a blessing. It's a spiritual wealth. I'm telling you, no one can steal that away from you. Next is prayer and fasting. A believer who knows how to pray and fast has spiritual wealth. Next point, ability to hear God is a wealth. Never underestimate it. Your ability to hear God. A Christian who can hear God. I'm not talking of a pastor. I'm talking of a believer who has the capacity to hear the voice of God. Please bring him forward. A Christian who has the ability to hear the voice of God. God will tell you, give this money to this one. Today, don't use this route. Tomorrow, do this for me. Do this. Don't use here. Sit here. Do this. Do that. And you are able to hear the voice of God. Ha! You are rich. Next point, favor. It's a spiritual wealth. Favor is a spiritual wealth. You are just accepted. It's one of the riches God gave to me. I've never been rejected anywhere in my life. Never been rejected. Anywhere in my life. Everybody who sees me loves me. There is an aura. You can't see it, but you can sense it. There are people the devil has taken away their favor. They experience rejection everywhere they go. People just reject them. But in this atmosphere this morning, I speak over every soul here. Anything that has been stolen from you, that is causing rejection to come upon you everywhere you go. This morning, I break the power in Jesus' name. Your amen is suffering from diabetes. I said, anything stolen from you is restored now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I won't stop saying it. In Jesus' name. I command restoration of everything stolen from your life. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hand. Say in Jesus' name. Oh, you are not here. Say in Jesus' name. You are not here. Say in Jesus' name. Anything stolen from me spiritually today, I take it back. I take it back in the name of Jesus Christ. There is restoration. So favor. You don't know favor. See, it was favor that made a pastor bring me a Mercedes Benz. It was favor. The man knew I was having a car already. Someone could have said, oh, you already use a car. So he was aware. He said, add it to it. Listen, favor will make people do things for you. They don't understand why they are doing it, but they are doing it. Listen, you will live in a house you didn't build. Hear me. See, there is nothing wrong with hard work. I've seen people who work hard and they still end up poor. But there's something about favor. You put in little effort, then much returns comes. I see favor coming upon 100 people here. I see favor coming upon 100 people here. In the name of Jesus. One of our members was working in a company. And before the company she was working in, everybody there deserved promotion because they've been working for years before she came. In few years, a promotion that was even supposed to be given to the one who trained her was given to her. She did not deserve it, but it came to her. Listen, you are about to break protocol in this year. You are about to have a contract that will shake your foundation. You will break protocol in this year. Shout, I will break protocol. Shout, I will break protocol. In the name of Jesus, say favor, come now. This class is weak. Say favor, come now. Say favor, come now. Financial favor, come now. Financial favor, come now. In the name of Jesus, shall favor. Favor is mine. Favor is mine. Favor is mine. Favor is mine. I am favored. Can you imagine? Amongst all women, Mary was chosen to carry our Savior. What did she do? Nothing. We call it favor. The angel said, thou art favored above all. Listen, something's about to happen to you. Huh? Something's about to happen to you. I'm talking of 7 days. I'm talking of 14 days for another. I'm talking of 30 days for another person. Something strange is coming to you. You have been believing God for some miracle which has delayed. Someone said, I want to work with you, but I'll call you. It's been 6 months. Something. That there are some women, people want to marry you. Once they want to marry you, something takes the thing away. They don't even remember you again. Something is hindering. See, every woman needs favor for some to even propose to you. We call it favor. This morning, I declare over your life that anything that does not depict favor in your life, I take it away now and I restore favor to you in the name of Jesus. Put your hands upon your head and shout favor. Favor, lift your voice and pray over your head. Pray that wherever I go, Lord, in Jesus' name, favor me. Let favor bath my life. Let favor bath my family. Let favor bath everything I do. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice. Lift your voice and pray. There is restoration. God is bringing something away. God is turning things around. God is shifting some things in your life. Lift your voice and pray. Unusual favor. Unusual favor. I will have things money cannot give. I will receive things money cannot give. Wherever I go, I'm accepted. I reject the spirit of rejection. I refuse the spirit of rejection. I will not be rejected. Lift your voice, prophesy, pray, speak over your life, declare over your life. Come and pray. Every spirit of delay, favor will cancel delay. Favor will cancel delay. Favor will cancel delay. Favor will cancel delay. Pray for supernatural favor. A favor that is not normal. I know a man who is living in a house he did not build. I know people who are driving cars they did not buy. I know that what you must use 60 years to accomplish, to have certain things, favor can bring it. Favor does not work by process. In the normal process, when you start working, it will take 15 years before you buy a good car. But favor can bring it to you. These days, you cannot even afford a quarter plot. If favor is not working for you, how many years can you work with your 1,000 Ghana cedis to buy a land? How many years can you work to buy a car? How many years can you work to take care of your family, if not for favor? I know you work hard. I know you are logical. But I'm telling you, there is something outside of this world that God can put upon your life. That God can change your status. He can change some people. He can connect you. He can give you so much favor.
and people will help you. People will give you properties. People will give you mansions. People will give you cars. People will give you help. Help that cannot be explained. Lift your voice. Favor is help that cannot be explained. You are praying. You are saying, Lord, give me help that no man can explain. Give me help that no human can explain. Lift your voice and cry to Jesus.